I haven't seen it, and I know it's a sin that I haven't, so if I'm mispronouncing it, that's why. So now that we've gone over the basic types of animation, today I'm mostly talking about traditional animation. However, it can be applied to all forms of animation, just how you do it. It's just a little different. So in order to get started, you're going to want to refer to the basics. Now, these are two books that will help you immensely. The Illusion of Life and the Animator Survival Kit was made by, the best way I can describe them is some old dudes who worked at Disney, and they went, hey, we're really good at this. So let's tell other people how to be good at it too. And that's what these books are. They are very thick. I'm talking like they're 6-inch thick books. They are huge. You can, if you want, you can buy them. Obviously, you should always support official release. But also, if you just Google like Animator Survival Kit PDF, you'll find it for free because animation students are poor, so we help each other out. So these two are really good to look at. I don't recommend reading them cover to cover. These are usually things you refer to if you're animating something and you're kind of stumped or you're not really sure how to kind of push your animation just a little bit further to be more expressive or smooth. So you usually be like, oh, I'm animating like a ball bounce and I don't really know how to do that. So you'd go in and be like, oh, look, like squash and stretch. Oh, that's how I do it kind of thing. It's basically an encyclopedia. And it, oh God, I don't have a picture of it in real life, but trust me, when I say it's big, it's, oh God. So we're just gonna go over the principles of animation just a little bit. So there are, depending on who you ask, there are 8 to 12 principles of animation. I'm not going to go over all of them today, just because some of them are more artistic based, whereas some of them are a little more technical based. But the first one that everyone learns is the oh-so-famous squash and stretch. I don't know how well these GIFs are coming through on the stream, so if they are choppy, I'm so sorry. But squash and stretch is the principle of nothing moves statically. So, example, if I were to take a tennis ball and I threw it against the wall, it's not just gonna like ping off. It's going to, when it hits the wall, it's gonna squish a bit. Same thing with when I throw it. You know, things like physics, air pressure, those aren't the right words, but you know what I mean. It would cause it to stretch a bit in motion. And obviously, like I said, when it hits something, it's gonna squash. Thus, the term squash and stretch. But this doesn't only apply to items. This applies to animals, humans, anything that moves has squash and stretch. You can use it in a variety of ways. Like I said, you could use it for a ball. A good example on the left at the bottom is expressions. Another good example is Kit Bull. If you haven't seen it, it's one of Pixar's Spark Shorts about a kitten and a pit bull. It is very adorable and I recommend watching it. But as you can see, as the kitten hops around, you can see those good examples of pushing, squash, and stretch, where as you see the cat run and jump, when it's midair, it's in that stretch position. Whereas when it hits the ground or it's squatted towards the ground, that's your squash position. The next one is anticipation. Anticipation is the principle of telling your audience what you're going to do next. When you think of actions such as jumping, you don't just straight-legged launch yourself into the air. That's not how it works. In order to do things like jump, you have to squat down. And when you do that squat and you take a moment to do that anticipation position, you're telling your audience this is what's going to happen next. A good example of this is in the intro to DuckTales, another show that, again, if you haven't seen it, I can't recommend it enough. When you see that he squats down, that's basically the animators telling the audience, hey, get ready, he's going to be jumping. Because let's be honest, it'd be a little weird if he was running and then all of a sudden just yeeted himself into the atmosphere. it wouldn't make sense. It's a pretty basic one. I do recommend when you do anticipation poses, you definitely want to hold it for a second so you do give your audience that moment to kind of figure it out and be like, oh yeah, that's the thing that's happening. Because in animation, you want to be as clear as possible. You don't want to leave leaving people confused. The next principle, this one kind of blends together a bit. So this principle is overlapping action / secondary action. So when I say overlapping / secondary action, I'm talking about things that complement the main action. A good example of this is on the left, you can see the squirrel jumping. The squirrel jumping is the main action. That's what you're going to be paying attention to. The purpose of the secondary action is to help complement what's happening. So as you can see, when the squirrel's jumping, you can see the tail flapping behind it. That's helping complement the main action. Another good example of this is Simba on the right. I haven't watched The Lion King in a long time. I'm pretty sure this is when he's talking to Mufasa and he's like, you would always be there for me, Dad. And he's all edgy and yay, parent issues. You can see that his fur flowing in his mane is a good example of a complementary action. That also helps tell us a lot about the scene, because obviously in this rough sketch, we don't see the background. We don't know a lot about it. But because we can tell by the mane flowing, it kind of gives more action to the scene. It's like, oh, this is the wind is blowing, like, so dramatic. The only thing that would make this more dramatic is if we got those anime-esque petals just floating down the scene, just to really sell that classic Disney sympathy card. But this doesn't only apply to things like body parts. It also applies to things like clothing. You know, if you really want to, if you have a character that has super baggy clothing and you really want to, you know, emphasize that baggy clothing, you'll have that overlap of, like, if you say you swing your arm, you'll have those clothes swinging around under the arm. It just really helps kind of cement the idea that you're trying to tell your audience. All right, slow in and slow out. This is one that seems like it would be really simple until you do it, and then you're like, God, I hate this. Slow in and slow out is the principle of timing. It's the idea that nothing just stops. Like, we're not robots. We move. And when if something goes fast, when it stops, it's gotta go slow before it stops. A lot of people use a car as an example. I don't think a car is really a good example, but, you know, obligatory car example. An actually good example is here you can see James Baxter the horse from the Adventure Time episode. James Baxter, who is animated by James Baxter. Yeah, that's the whole joke, is he's a horse. His name is James Baxter. The only thing he says is James Baxter, and is animated and voiced by James Baxter. If you aren't familiar with James Baxter's work, I guarantee you, you actually are. He's done a lot of work for Cartoon Network. He worked on Adventure Time. He worked on Regular Show. He worked for Steven Universe. But even prior to that, he worked on a lot of Disney films, such as Hunchback of Notre Dame, Spirit Stallion of the Cimarron, I think. I haven't seen that movie in a long time either. Oh boy. Quarantine. I should watch more movies. But